Hey fans, we all love some good music.
A variety of music.
What if we could bring Chris Will Studios to you 24/7?
That's a long work schedule.
Maybe, but you know, we just might have it. The best variety of music from multiple decades live on your phone 24/7 with our Gay Orlando Live online radio station.
Better known as Go Live. Download the TuneIn app and search for Go Live or go to chrisandwill.com for more info.
So, tune in.
WAOL.
Today's episode is sponsored by Climate First Bank. Isn't it time you bank as your authentic self? Welcome to Chris Will Studios' special presentation, What About Our Life? Today's special guest is Julie Rogers Pamilia. Now please welcome the Prince Charmings of podcasting, Chris and Will.
Have me in your possession. Had you swimming inside my affection. Both you, I came second. So I cut off the connection.
Hello there. Welcome to another great episode of What About Our Life with Chris and Will.
Hi.
How are you guys? Are you doing well? We are in May. Can you believe it? The year is going by so fast, so quickly. It is just amazingly going fast. But we're not complaining because it's a good year.
Yes.
Because we are celebrating the 25th anniversary celebration, which we're kicking off already. We kicked that off on May the 4th be with you.
Yes.
With a special event called Runway to Hope. We were amongst the 85 celebrity escorts that got to go on stage and escort an amazing friends, these wonderful kids that are unfortunately dealing with pediatric cancer.
Yeah.
We were helping them raise money and helping them go and strut themselves down that runway. It was so much fun. So much fun. We enjoyed it. We're going to talk about more about that later, or in a different episode, I should say. But a lot of cool things are coming up. The Southern Music Festival, Southern Skies Music Festival, yes. I should say, in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Yes.
Mother's Day is coming up. Did you know the upcoming week, International Families Day?
Did not know that.
World Baking Day.
Aww.
Yeah, so a lot of things are coming up. And then we kick off our What About Our Life Adventures Season 4 that you can see on your Spotify Smart TV app or the Chris Will Network at chrisandwill.com. Mm-hmm. And in Season 4, we're actually going to do three different types of episodes. One episode on location where it's a specific location, but doesn't cover the surrounding locations. Meaning we travel to one location.
Okay.
Well, it's kind of like what we did in last season, you know, where we covered the New Orleans Aquarium and then the New Orleans Audubon Zoo. So when it's one location, so we covered one location, but we didn't cover New Orleans, if that makes sense.
Yes.
So you have on location episodes. Then you have road trip episodes, which basically means it's us going on a road trip and we're covering several different locations in these episodes.
Yes.
Then we have special event episode, which basically means that we travel to a certain event and cover that event. Like, for example, IAPA or the Southern Skies Music Festival, if that's the case.
Yes.
So, yeah. So three different types of episodes will be featured in Season 4 of What About Our Life Adventures launching fairly soon. So we have a lot going on. Plus, we will be over at the Memorial Weekend Pensacola 30 celebration, Pride celebration in Pensacola. I can't talk. In Pensacola, Florida. Then after that, we have our official 25th anniversary dinner in Orlando that we're going to do on our 25th anniversary.
Yes.
And then we have the one magical weekend following that. Then we're going to be going to Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, and Baton Rouge. RuPaul's Drag Con's in there somewhere. More Pride events are coming up. So we've got a full schedule. We do. And then this week, Sammy turns 16.
Yeah.
16. Can you believe that? That is amazing. He's still kicking, driving us nuts like he always does. But he enjoys traveling. I tell you, he gets restless at home, you guys.
Yeah.
At home, he is so restless. But when we take him on our travels, he is the best thing on the planet. He does not want to leave.
Yeah.
He definitely does not want to leave. So it's interesting. So, yeah. So we have a lot going on. You can catch out all that information on chrisandwill.com and find out what we're adding, where we're going, what we're doing.
Lots of neat stuff.
Lots of neat stuff. And of course, a lot of neat shows coming on. We're going to be uploading a special around town social life on our social media outlets. We have some interesting facts presented to us from IAPA, the convention that we did last year.
Uh-huh.
We're going to show you some summer trends of attractions going on around the country this summer.
And that's got to be really cool.
Yes. And some of those attractions we covered while we were at IAPA, which includes the gravy.
Oh.
The gravy. The gravy bowl roller coaster at Holiday World, I think it is.
Yes.
We covered that. So we're going to be talking about that. So you'll want to make sure that you check out our social media outlets, because that will be showcasing fairly soon. You can get some behind the scenes and great updates and footage of some of these locations from parks and attractions all across the United States. So we're happy to be presenting that to you. So a lot of things going on.
Yeah.
Lots of things going on. We're starting to get invited to concerts. So we're trying to prepare for that. Other shows and doing new interviews and so forth. I do not know how we're fitting this in our schedules.
That's what's going through my head at the moment.
I do not know how we are fitting any of this in our schedules, but it is a good thing. We are very happy about that. And we are grateful, of course.
Yes.
You kind of have to be grateful. Yeah. But in this episode, you guys, we're going to be talking about vintage Hollywood, the golden age of Hollywood.
Yay.
Because we have a special guest on our show, and she is the grandchild of the late Roy Rogers and Dale Evans.
Yeah.
Yes. A very interesting topic that we're going to be talking with her about. And so we're excited to be having that. But you know, we're going to talk a little bit more about golden age Hollywood. Now, there's not very many golden age Hollywood stars left out in the world, of course. But one of our greatest friends, Ruta Lee, is still around.
Yes.
And she remembers the days of like Marilyn Monroe and some of the Frank Sinatra, some of the old Bob Hope, old greats in the business, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the one thing about golden age Hollywood is this is where it all began.
Yeah.
You know, these are the ones that these individuals basically paved the way for all of us.
I agree.
They had to go through the hell and the excitement and the turmoil, the working hard before unions became a thing, before rules and became in place. And basically, the studios just owned you and just let you work and made you work. Kind of like the Judy Garland story, the unfortunate Garland stories from back in the day. So, you know, these individuals paved the way for us. And a lot of their memories and a lot of their legendary historic pieces are still around.
I'm very happy to hear that.
Yes, they're still around. Not very much. A lot of the old theaters in Hollywood are not.
Yeah.
Hollywood Boulevard, of course, has changed over the course of the years. It's gotten more modernized and cleaned up, I would have to say, since the last time we walked
that.
Yes. Since the last time we walked down there, there were a lot of times that Hollywood Boulevard is not the cleanest.
Yeah.
But they have cleaned it up. And unfortunately, some of the older iconic buildings and things where a lot of stars got their start are not there anymore.
Yeah.
They've had to, of course, tear them down. But of course, the amazing Hollywood Museum, which is in the old Max Factor building, is still there. And of course, the Walk of Fame, the Hollywood sign, which if you didn't know, that used to be Hollywood Land.
Yeah.
And the sign was actually there for the purpose of real estate. It was meant for real estate because it was an advertisement for real estate is what it was. And it became an iconic, piece for Hollywood history. And, we've talked about this in previous episodes where every letter represents a star that has contributed a good bit amount of money to, renovate the Hollywood sign.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting. And, you might want to check that out with the Hollywood Museum, of course.
Yep.
But, what kind of great old movie would you think of? I would say for me, it would have to be To Kill a Mockingbird.
Huh. Wow. I mean, there's quite a few for me. Obviously, I think for me, there's so many black and white films. It's hard to choose from them because each one, even though they were filmed way back when, I think they had more. They had more of a sense of a feeling of there's a story, there's with their limited resources, they had to pull something together and they really got you to use your imagination.
That they did. Going to black and white, Alfred Hitchcock.
Okay,
a lot of famous Alfred.
You're going to laugh at me for this, but the one that I keep seeing is Birds.
Yes, Birds, and of course Psycho.
Yeah. But I like it because, you know, he did it in such a way that it wasn't right in your face. Like, you really had to sort of, in a way, not pay attention, but pay attention.
Well, you know, what's interesting is his production office is still existing on the back lot of the Universal Studios Hollywood. And I don't know who accompanies it now.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see the sign of Alfred Hitchcock outside the building. And there is a theory going along that he still haunts his building because mysterious things happen in an office. I've seen that, which would not surprise me.
Yeah.
But it's kind of like going through the Hollywood studios and you go through all the different backlots and you get the history of all the studios because the Sony Studios that's in Hollywood, that's over in Culver City, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it used to be the old MGM
that's
Studios.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Which, again, is where they filmed The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
A lot of great places are there. And you know, that is the studio now that I know of that films Wheel of Fortune as well as Jeopardy.
Yeah.
And if I don't know if they still do, but when we worked on the lot, they at that time they shared a stage.
Right, right.
Which means if you guys don't know, what happens is several shows will share sound stages.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming on the business side of it, it helps condense the amount of money they have to pay for renting a soundstage. So they kind of share it. So what happens is when one show is in production, then the other show is on hiatus.
Mm-hmm.
So when that show go, when the show in production goes on hiatus, then they tear down that set, box it up and put it in and then they switch it to the new show.
Yeah.
And we used to know that because now I don't think it's that way anymore, but over at CBS, Television City, which is, I think it's somewhere in LA. I can't remember. It's by the mall, the Grove, whatever
it is. The Grove, yes.
They are renovating it. So all those stages had to move. But The Price is Right,
yeah,
shared a soundstage with Bill Maher.
Real time with Bill Maher.
Real time with Bill Maher. So yep. it was quite interesting that they would have this huge Price is Right change, and then it goes into Bill Maher.
Yeah.
It's really kind of interesting. But yes, they do that a lot of times. Yeah. A lot of times that they do that. And when I worked at Warner Brothers and I did the tours with Warner Brothers, a lot of the sitcoms, believe it or not, when they have the interior sets, they build the interior sets so they can fold them up and put them, box them up. It's interesting because, when I was there, they were filming, Mom, remember with yes. Alice and Channy and, yes.
Anna Faris.
Yes. And Mom was on hiatus. So I got to go into the area where they build sets, and you saw the big box.
Isn't it interesting though?
Of the interiors of the house.
Isn't it interesting though when you walk in and you see these sets that are, I don't know. I guess some of them when they're in use, but they're not filming, and you just kind of see things set up. It's sort of interesting because you look at it and you're like, huh. I don't know. It's hard to put into words. It's more of a feeling for me.
Well, it is. Because remember when we first got started and we went over to the Culver City Studios.
Yeah.
Now, Culver City Studios, guys, was the filming location of Gone with the Wind.
That's right. Yes.
And the main front of the studios is actually the house that they use in Gone with the Wind. And behind it is the actual studios. Well, that is where we got to meet the set designers.
That's right.
Of Night at the Museum. So one of the movies of Night at the Museum was being filmed there, and we actually was on set.
I think
set.
It was the second one.
I think it was too, because they were building the outside. They were building. I think Central Park.
Yes, it was.
From New York. Yes. And it was in that soundstage.
Yes.
And we watched them put this entire set together. And you can't even tell that it's not Central Park.
Well, not only that, but you can't tell that it's a backdrop. Like, you can't tell that someone actually has to, how would you describe it?
Because they have to put it to...
But it doesn't appear... It looks like you're actually at Central Park.
You do. And, you know, some of these takes a couple days to get it done.
Yeah.
But some of them can build an entire set in just 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
If they're having to rush it, because sometimes they get last minute things that they have to do, mm-hmm. which I think was the case with this one.
Yes. Yes.
When we saw it.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting. And then when they're done, they just strike it and then they just throw the pieces away. Like, it doesn't matter. And it's just like, okay. And some of the houses, like they use in the back lots, they only use majority of the facades of the house and bits and pieces of the inside of the house.
This is weird.
Which is
but
weird.
At the same time, it's logical.
Yes. Well, it's kind of like, okay, well, go back to the Warner Brothers Ranch where you went to the Griswold house for Christmas Vacation.
Yes.
They have the Griswold house built outside, and they only filmed a few scenes inside the house.
Yeah.
But inside the house looks like a house. It's built just like a house. You can actually live in it if you wanted to. It's built just like a house. But most of the inside scenes were done in a soundstage.
Right.
Yeah. Were completely done in a soundstage, which is quite interesting. And then, I mean, okay, here's a good one. The Goonies.
Yeah.
If you didn't know, The Goonies was filmed in Warner Brothers.
Yeah.
And Universal. But at Universal, the soundstage that they have at Universal, which houses The Voice right now, was the same soundstage that The Goonies was filmed in, as well as Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
And inside this soundstage is where they built a pool. They built the pirate ship in this body of water inside a soundstage and the slides. And the actors didn't even know that they were about to see this ship. So when you watch them go down the slides and they land in the water, and you see their reactions of seeing the ship.
Yes.
That is a natural reaction That's what Steven Spielberg wanted. So they built all that. And so, and then here's the crazy part. A lot of people don't know this. With Jurassic Park Part 2, mm-hmm. remember the scene where the trailers were hanging off the cliff?
Yes, yes.
That was off of a
parking garage
at Universal Studios.
Yep.
Can you believe that? That's crazy. That's the magic, I guess, of Hollywood. Yeah. You would say that it is.
Yeah.
And then another thing about Universal Studios, which I find fascinating, is are two things, I would say. One, I'll touch upon. The Chicken Ranch from Dolly Parton's hit The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas. Yeah. That is on the back lot of Universal Studios. And they've only filmed 3 scenes in that house. And the rest of it was done in the soundstage.
Wow.
And then if you look at,
give me a clue here. I mean,
popular show. I don't know why. Desperate Housewives. There you go.
Yes. You're talking about,
Wisteria Lane. Yes.
Wisteria Lane. Yeah.
That was built to be a house neighborhood. That's what it was.
Yes.
They built the show off of those houses that were meant for nothing.
Exactly.
So it's quite interesting. So we always encourage to take your time to go to these different locations and find these different artifacts of what Hollywood really presented back in the day. And, mm-hmm. and you know, it really is interesting. It really is magical.
If you look at it from this perspective, I mean, a lot of people had to put a lot of effort. And just to make these, whether they're props, sets, backdrops, there's a lot of stuff. And, you know, when you have to use your imagination to use the movie magic for us to watch it, that's quite talented, I think.
It is talented. And, you know, again, Golden Age Hollywood gave it that creation and that spark. And, another thing that a lot of people didn't know of, the great movie ride that was over at the Disney MGM Studios, Disney Hollywood Studios for a short lived time.
Yeah.
Speaking of Golden Age, there is a scene in that, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, YouTube it. Great movie ride.
Mm-hmm.
There's a section to where you go and you follow the yellow brick road for the Wizard of Oz.
Hmm?
In that ride. Did you know that the flowers that they used in that ride were actually used in the original movie?
What?
Yes. There's a lot of things about the Great Movie Ride that a lot of people don't know that exists. That exists because they took different bits and pieces from actual Hollywood sets and put them in that ride, just like they did with Casablanca. That's also in that ride because the front end of that plane is the actual front end of the plane that they used in the movie.
Yes.
So there's a lot of history about that. And the one thing I liked about Disney MGM Studios is they kept up with that Golden Age.
Yeah.
And they presented a lot of that.
Yeah.
And some of that stuff you can't really find or see anymore. Now with Warner Brothers, I would say Warner Brothers has been very good about keeping a lot of old Hollywood. Like mm-hmm. if you get to tour the ranch, which sometimes you don't, sometimes you do, but the ranch was not always Warner Brothers Ranch. It was a different studio,
mm-hmm.
and the Three Stooges was filmed there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the Three Stooges was filmed there, and in fact, I want to say that Green Acres House is still around. Yes, the Green Acres House is still around. I want to say the replica of Little House on the Prairie is still around too.
Yeah.
Since the last time we were there, it was still around. And if you get the chance, now the one thing I don't like about some of the tours is you don't get much of an in-depth, even if you go on their private tours. Unless you know somebody or you get a really great tour guide. But if you get around to seeing some of the stuff, you can actually match some of the buildings, from some of the older, films.
Now, isn't that interesting, though? Like, you just associating the different types of sets with the films, or like facades of homes and whatnot. I mean, that there's so much to it because, one, yes, it's particular to the film or television show, but I think it's also representative of each era, you know? And I think that by looking at that, it just creates a sense of, I don't know if it's a feeling, but just a sense of, like, association.
There yeah, well, I mean, you're respecting the history.
Yeah, yeah.
Because these, again, these creative minds are what built it for, you know, us now and what Hollywood is about now. And even though we do radio, it's still a big memory for us.
Of course, yeah.
But in any sense, we got to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about the Golden Age of Hollywood, some other hidden secrets that we know of that we can express for you because we have a special, special episode for you. So, yes, so don't go nowheres. We will be right back.
Today's commentary is brought to you by...
Hi, I'm Cammy, and I want to tell you about one of the most amazing places in the world, Give Kids the World Village. It's a magical place where kids with critical illnesses come from all over the world for one amazing week. They get to visit Central Florida's coolest theme parks, celebrate at nightly parties, and enjoy delicious meals. And it doesn't cost them a thing. To learn more about how this magical place works and how you can help, visit givekidstheworld.org.
Life. Life matters. Your life matters. Everything about you matters. Yes, we know at times life can be hard and hard to deal with. Dealing with it is only temporary. When you dream, we know you dream big. You dream to live and live like every day is a dream coming true. The Prince Charmings of podcasting want you to know we got you. We love you. We want you to dream. Our programming is, yes, an adventure, a moment of our life, a night out in the town, or even a question of our life. Together, we all share the same interest, the dream of equality and well-being. What you experience in our programming is experienced as we hope you'll get to experience them, because in some way, we're with you. These are safe places for us and for you. Our team only produces programming that can enrich all of us. These are places that will accept you, be there for you, and will welcome everything about you. So when watching something from Chris and Will, we guarantee that in person, you'll be safe. These are the moments of which you can not only dream, but be a part of. This is our honor to provide you with the open doors to a life in which people respect the real person that you choose to be. We got you. We love you. We do it for you. ChrisandWill.com is your home to locating, watching, feeling, listening, and experiencing all the things you'll need to live your own life. The Chris and Will Experience. This is a safe place for you. Love yourself, and the world will love you in return. Hey, Pensacola, we're kicking off Pride with you with the Johnny Chisholm Presents Memorial Weekend Pensacola 30. That's right, the Prince Charmings of podcasting, Chris and Will, are going to be broadcasting live. You don't want to miss this amazing largest circuit beach party ever. And it's May 23rd through the 26th in Pensacola, Florida. Don't miss DJ Trixie Mattel performing live and so much more. So get your swimsuits, swim bodies, and yourself to the beach this Memorial Day weekend with Memorial Weekend Pensacola 30. Go to chrisandwill.com or johnnychisholm.com for tickets and more information. We're going to kick off Pride with you, Pensacola. Are you ready? We're ready. So let's go have a beach party.
Baton Rouge, Chris and Will are headed your way for a live broadcast of the Baton Rouge Pride Festival June 29th. Don't miss an incredible performance by the amazing Taylor Dane. Tell it to your heart and join us for all the fun. Vendors, live music, orchestra, talent show, and so much more. Join the Prince Charmings of podcasting for this free event on June 29th at the Raising Cane's River Center in Baton Rouge. Go to chrisandwill.com or batonrougepride.org for all the details. Baton Rouge, we will see you at the Baton Rouge Festival
June 29th.
So rock me, mama, like a wagon.
Southern Skies Music and Whiskey Festival, featuring Old Crow Medicine Show, The Dirty Govnas, Maggie Rose, and many more, returns to World's Fair Park on Saturday, May 11th. Don't miss our brand new Tennessee Whiskey Experience, featuring distillers from across the state. Southern Skies is produced by Dogwood Arts and curated by the Dirty Govs. Tickets are on sale now. We'll see you there.
How do you tell a story? There's so many ways to tell a story, but do you tell the right story?
So what do you think, Willie? This is your first time here.
I don't know what to say. I'm speechless.
How do you, the audience, take in the stories you hear?
We get our chef's table, Willie.
What is a real story?
I actually don't remember what happened that day. I know that I had a shift at Chef Mickey's at Contemporary Resort. And here's this annoying kid that came and started talking to me.
Sure.
This is a story that can change you, interrupt you, relate to you, and fit into your own story. A story that speaks to you, gives you the understanding that you're not alone, makes you feel good inside, gives you hope and direction for your dreams to come true. A story that takes you on an adventure. A story with a friendship and moments. A story that gives you a safe and welcoming place to experience. And a story that charms you.
So we are at The Lobbyist in Memphis, Tennessee.
Our story is real. It's magical. It's believable. It's livable because we lived it. It's not just entertainment for the fame. It's for the purpose of just telling you. We were called the Prince Charmings not for the title, but because we are the once upon a time. We are the storytellers that charm your heart and builds up your hope. This is our story. The story continues.
Hey, thank you so much for everything.
Thank you. Yes, yes.
So, all right, guys, we'll see.
The magic of Chris and Will, 25 years in the making. Welcome to our next chapter.
Now, back to the show.
How do I deal with what I'm feeling? Maybe I just don't.
I just don't.
What you do when I'm in ruins all alone?
I'm all alone.
Welcome back. We're so glad that you came back. You know, while we were at break, I had thought of a great location. Not too many of these are golden age, but great memories. Remember walking in the cabin at Universal Studios?
That's right, yes.
It was the cabin that they filmed Coach in, the television series Coach.
Yes.
And it was also the cabin that they filmed The Great Outdoors,
yes,
with John Candy.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
And the cabin is actually in front of a big, large green screen.
Yeah.
And there is a tiny little piece of concrete that they can fill a little bit of water in.
Mm-hmm.
And believe it or not, that location is where they filmed TLC's Waterfalls.
Yep.
That is also where Jim Carrey walked on water in Bruce Almighty.
That's right, yeah.
Amongst other things.
But walking inside that cabin, though, you got to admit, that was really neat.
It was neat because it looked just like the cabin, yes, except without, yes, all the props. Now,
yeah,
from my understanding, from what they told us, is that they did film majority of Great Outdoors inside the cabin along with Coach.
Yeah.
So that's kind of neat. That's kind of creative. That's, you can still find, I think, at Universal Studios in Hollywood.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if, let's not leave out Universal Studios in Orlando, of course. New York Street is actually the old New York Street for Universal Studios Hollywood.
Now that you bring that up, please correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't that New York Street used to film for a Creed music video?
Yes. Yes, it was. In Orlando, when Universal Studios in Orlando was doing lots of filming, which they still do now, Creed created a music video where they flooded the entire New York Street. gallons and gallons of water that they used. So yes, so they did. Universal Studios in Orlando has done quite a bit of filming. And like I said, they still do. There's not very many locations in Orlando that still does productions.
Yes.
And if you're hearing Sammy in the background, because he really wants to get into this conversation, because being he's turning sweet 16, he's golden age right there. He's sitting there saying, oh, you're talking about my genre. Yes. Yes, exactly. but anyway, so yes, but there's a lot of unique facades that are Universal Orlando, including the facade for Superman.
Yeah.
The facade for Ghostbusters.
That's right.
The original Annie with Carol Burnett.
Yep, yep.
That facade is in there. The original entrance to Rocky, then Godfather, the pizza location for Godfathers, the pet shop that was used in Rocky, and a few others.
Yeah.
A few others. You get to, they also have the front facade that they use for the Cosby Show.
That's right.
That's actually there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Another thing that I bet you a lot of people didn't know of that we kind of learned very recently, the show 227 from back in the day. The show 227 from back in the day was filmed at the same location as Sesame Street.
Now that's interesting though, because now that we were told this, I think it's actually kind of neat just looking back at both of those shows and being like, wait a minute. Yes. Okay.
If you watch 227, which you can find 227 on Hulu right now.
Yes.
When they sit outside the door of 227, that is actually where Oscar the Grouch's trash can is in Sesame Street.
Wow.
Yes. And you know why they shared a stage with Sesame Street? Because one of the actresses who's in Sesame Street is also in 227.
That's right.
But anyways, so yeah. So a lot of different movie magic going from back in the day. Let's see some other classic films.
Well, you know, one interesting, it's not a film, it's a television show. But like with the Golden Girls. So the exterior shots were filmed at the Disney MGM Studios. That was before,
before they tore it down.
Yeah. But it was actually filmed at what was called the Renmar Studios at that time.
Yes, it's called the Red Studios now.
Yeah.
And that was also the same studio that was in Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
That's right.
Because the outside of the facade was the, what was the name of the studio that they used in Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Maroon Studios.
Yes.
Maroon Cartoons. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, that's where they learned all that.
Yeah.
I guess. Uh-huh. You know, it had to start somewhere. So today on our show is Julie Rogers Pamilia, and she is the grandchild of Dale Evans and Roy Rogers, some of the greatest golden age stars in Hollywood. And she wrote this amazing book, and we're going to talk to her about it, and we're going to talk about her famous grandparents and some of the memorabilia that she has from them. And so much more. So we're going to go into more of Golden Age when we talk to her. So don't go nowhere. Sit back, relax. Julie Rogers Pamilia is coming up.
Chris and Will introducing you to an amazing getaway. For the first time, we both treated ourselves to a day of pampering.
If you're in the Tampa, Florida area, then please make sure to treat your own self to a day like we did at Spa Nirvana, a sanctuary for face and body, a spa day for men and women.
The staff is so friendly, the place is clean, looks amazing, and the best of it, they're following the safety guidelines during these current times.
Truly a professional environment. The cost isn't bad neither. Make your appointment today.
Imagine a day where you can get the most incredible stress-free relaxing massage. body work, facial rejuvenation, and microdermabrasion. They have so much more to offer, including their signature facial services, including an aluminum oxide-free crystal microdermabrasion facial, the lifting facial of mature skin, and the most comprehensive, purifying, deep cleansing facial. Plus, you just can't beat the environment of soothing music. Healthy snacks and drinks, and you just have to see it for yourself.
Guys, it's totally worth it. This is a weekly thing for us now, and I can't wait to go again. This is a Chris Will highly recommendation.
SpaNirvana.com is the website. You can go to ChrisandWill.com for the link as well. Spa Nirvana, 811 Court Street, Clearwater, Florida, 33756. Call 727-447-7546 to make your appointment today. Services are by appointment only, and they are filling up fast. So treat yourself, your inner self, to a vacation day at Spa Nirvana.
In order to be me, I have to be comfortable with my life.
At Climate First Bank, we believe that being you is important, so we made our banking even more comfortable so you can be the person you need to be. We've introduced Pride Banking, a Climate First Bank checking account dedicated to supporting the LGBTQ+ community. With us, you can be comfortable and be all of you. You can even use your preferred name on your debit card. Free Pride Banking checks are included with your account, with no minimum account balance required and no monthly account fees. When you set up a qualifying direct deposit account, Climate First Bank donates $50 to a nonprofit partner within the LGBTQ+ community. At Climate First Bank, we believe in you. Be even more comfortable with your life and enjoy our stress-free Pride Banking. Go enjoy your life with a Climate First Bank Pride Banking account. Learn more and open your account today at apply.climatefirstbank.com/pride.
Hello, Chamas. My name is Traveler Chomcod. I am the official host of the all-new Chris and Will show called What About Our Life Adventures, exclusively on the Chris Will Network and Spotify. Make sure you go and log on to your Spotify free account via your smart TVs or your phones and watch their all-new adventure series traveling all across the globe. So join me, Sammy, their manager Tabby, and Chris and Will, plus so many other guests, for the all-new What About Our Life Adventures, exclusively on the Chris Will Network at chrisandwill.com and Spotify via your free account. You gotta watch it because it's a vlogcast, not an audio show. So it's video and audio. So we'll see you on Spotify for What About Our Life Adventures, chrisandwill.com.
Let's change the way we do the world. Let's nurture habits that lead to better habitats and a more sustainable future for all. Get started at OttomanNatureInstitute.org/action.
The party is on. Over 72 hours of nonstop Pride events, May 30th through June 3rd, 2024. Join Chris and Will, the Prince Charmings of podcasting, for nonstop media broadcasting in Orlando, Florida at one magical weekend. Typhoon Lagoon, House of Blues, after hour parties, pool parties, and so much more. Go to onemagicalweekend.com to start planning your trip to Pride in Orlando in June of 2024. Don't miss Chris and Will and your chance to hang out with the Prince Charmings of podcasting. Go to onemagicalweekend.com, chrisandwill.com for more information. Book your travel to all the Florida locations with our official brand sponsor, MEI Travel, at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com. Tell MEI Travel that Chris and Will, the Prince Charmings of podcasting, sent you for some special grand discounts. It's one magical weekend for 2024.
Let's party.
We are proud to welcome our special guest, Julie Rogers Pomilia.
Hi, Julie. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. And thank you for having me on the show.
Of course. Yes. We are absolutely honored and so excited about this because we love Golden Age Hollywood and all of the stars that really kind of made Hollywood in a sense. And you have an amazing part of that because your grandparents were two of the most fabulous entertainers ever. So we're excited to talk about that.
Well, I am too. They were very special and beloved by their family as much as their fans.
Absolutely, absolutely. And let's tell our fans, it's Roy Rogers and Dale Evans, correct?
Yes, it is. Happy trails to you.
Yes. And, you know, you had mentioned something previously about that they were your grandparents, correct?
They were my grandparents, my dad's parents, yeah.
Absolutely. And you had mentioned something that they were the most branded stars in Hollywood, second to Walt Disney.
Yeah, you know, Grandpa was really keen on merchandising because it started because he wasn't getting paid very much at Republic Studios, and he couldn't even keep up with the fan mail, answering the fan mail, because he couldn't afford all the stamps to send them. And so he started looking for other ways to help get some extra money to do that. So he started the whole merchandising idea with putting his name or likeness on toys and books and even car parts and baby products. So that was very, very successful. He was only second to Walt Disney at the time, who had a little bit more stuff out there. And he actually had the idea for the NFL merchandising. And that was a story that came out in Time magazine. I read it in the dentist office. I find out more things about my family to other people.
Yeah.
Because family members just know family stuff. A lot of times they don't pay attention. And especially if you're a grandchild and you were young at the time, which I was, I didn't really pay attention.
Right.
But he got his name out there. And there is so much out there today, namely in my garage. So I don't know if you're Roy Rogers fans, but my kids are never going to want this stuff. So come on over.
Oh,
take your pick.
Oh, we totally would, because we actually have a 30,000-piece collection of Golden Age Hollywood, and we love
really?
That.
Yes.
Yes. A friend of ours collected it over the years, and the friend of his was a Hollywood photographer, and so he would go get pictures of the celebrities and have them personally sign it. So he's got actually Roy Rogers' signatures,
yep,
and of course Dale Evans, and so we're working with him to build it. Yeah, so
yeah,
we love that kind of stuff. I'd love to put all that in a museum. That's really where I think a lot of it belongs, is to educate. So absolutely, yes, if you really want to get rid of it, you let me know.
You know,
I will take it.
I will keep your number.
Yes.
Because that's, and my kids, you know, the kids today don't really, they appreciate the fact that he was their great grandfather, but it doesn't really have the same impact as it was for me growing up with it.
Right.
No,
right.
Exactly.
Now, one thing I'm very fascinated with is you're talking about all this memorabilia. Is there any particular item or certain merchandise that you have a bond with?
Well, I do have fond memories of their little golden records, those little yellow records.
Yes.
Because I had those as I was growing up. And I used to like this one song that they sang. And in my book, I actually mention it, that I think it drove my family crazy, because he sang this little song on one of them called The Swedish Rhapsody. And for some reason, this little bippity boop song, it has kind of a catchy theme, little, you know, tune, got to me. And I listened to that over and over and over, and never listened to any of the other songs in my little record box.
Uh-huh.
And so I have that, and it just every time I hear it brings back good memories. Now, I had the color forms And I had the paper dolls too, but the paper dolls kind of creeped me out because, I mean, really, who wants to see their grandparents in their underwear? You know, I could not get their clothes back on fast enough when I played with those. So,
oh, that's so funny.
A little bit too close there.
that's great. That's great.
So
you have this amazing book that's out. And, you know, I know this is kind of a common question you get, but there's always some deep insights with it. After all the many years that you've been knowing about all this and you've had these materials, what kind of inspired you to really want to write this book?
Well, I think, you know, we don't like to admit that we're getting older, but we are. And as I get older, I get more sentimental about things. And I realize that my own kids, my grown sons, I have three, don't really know about my growing up. And it mattered to me to tell them to just get it down on paper. And that's really originally what I was doing. I was just going to take it to Kinko's and get it bound. And, you know, a gift from mom at Christmas time type thing.
Yeah.
And then as I go around to different festivals, people say, oh, you have such good stories. You need to write a book. You need to write a book. And I'd say, well, I am kind of writing a book. It's to my kids. And they said, well, no. You got to get it published because we'll buy it. We want it. You know, we want to read it. And so the more I heard that, you know, you go from thinking, well, my life was just normal because you figure everybody's grandpa had a TV show and you figure everybody has experiences like this. It went from that to, well, maybe I will get it published and widen my audience. And so I did that. And I'm really surprised at the reaction that people want to hear these stories. So it is still for my kids. They're getting it for Christmas, whether they want it or not.
It's interesting you say that because we have had the same reaction when we've brought in quite a few celebrities from our growing up and then who has had a history of their growing up. And, you know, a lot of our fans will go back and say, that's interesting. I never really thought of them that way. And, you know, they'll tell these amazing stories. And so it's come to the fact that our fans love stories. And the interesting part of it is it's kind of like no matter what age the group they're in, they're fascinated with how the past really brought up today and why we're really not doing Hollywood the same way we used to.
Mm-hmm.
And and it's interesting you say that. And then you get to see them, you get to hear about them in a way that the media or so forth doesn't really talk about them. And like, for example, we interviewed Charlotte. I forget her last name, but she was in a film with Elvis Presley.
Yes.
And she was talking about how her and Elvis would sit down during between takes and he would go really in depth about the loss of his mother. And so those moments are just breathtaking because you get the personal sides of them. So I agree. I appreciate what you do.
Well, I think that's true. And people like to hear that they were normal people underneath with feelings and with stories behind, you know, background and all of this stuff. And I think that that's just another way that it makes them feel closer to Roy and Dale or to any of these old, you know, older generation people because they can relate to them.
Right.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. And one thing I found really interesting, going back a little bit into branding and merchandising, Roy was known for wearing rhinestones on his outfits. Is that accurate?
Oh yeah. It started because they really, really loved children and their program was really geared towards children, even though adults liked it too. And when he would go out, a lot of times the children maybe didn't have enough money to get the expensive seats that were down around the front, around on the arena. And so they'd be way up high and they could barely see him. So he got the idea that if he put some rhinestones on his costume, that when the lights shone on him, it would be a better show and it would be really exciting for those kids that were way up that couldn't really see him as well. So he went to Nudie, the rodeo tailor, and Nudie, outfitted. Oh, Elvis, you know, the gold lamé suit that Elvis wore.
Yeah.
Nudie made that.
Oh.
And Dolly Parton, Sonny and Cher. I mean, all of these big entertainers he outfitted, including my grandparents. And so Nudie was very flashy himself. He said, you know, the first impression has to be flashy. That was his motto. So he started putting rhinestones all over Grandpa's clothes, and it did just that. It really, you know, kicked the show up a few notches for those kids that were way up high, and he just continued doing it. He was kind of like the original rhinestone cowboy.
Wow.
Wow.
Thank you for sharing that. Yeah. That just, not only is it interesting about the facts, but I think more into the story of it and the purpose of why he did that.
Right.
Yeah. He was very, they were both very much into children. Well, they had nine and five of those were adopted. So they kept adopting children. They wanted a big family. And they also changed the landscape of what people, the public opinion landscape of what people thought of children that had Down syndrome, because they had a Down syndrome baby, a little baby that had Down syndrome. I don't want to label them.
Right.
But she was adorable. She only lived to be two. But, you know, back in the day, they said, oh, institutionalize them. And so when they were ready to leave the hospital, the doctors asked, well, where are you going to put her? And my grandpa said, put her? What do you mean, put? Where am I going to put her? We're taking her home. And he said, no, you know, we institutionalize them. And he said, not us. We're not doing that. And she was an integral part of the family. And the more they brought her out and talked about her too, the more the public felt comfortable bringing their children out. So he started seeing just droves of people with their special needs kids coming to his show. So then he asked the venues if they would save the first few rows in each arena for just those families. And then after the show, they would stay on their horses and side pass along the railing there and shake hands and greet them and take pictures and stuff. And so they really had a heart for kids.
I can tell. Mm-hmm. I can tell. And just, you know, obviously growing up with this and, you know, having a big part of this, does it well, you kind of answered it where you were talking about how the fandom kind of surprises you in a sense. But did you, I mean, they were normal individuals, but did you ever imagine that, you know, the world still reflects on those icons the same way that they do today? I mean, does that surprise you in so many different senses, that the differences of the fandom?
Well, you mean that people still remember them today? Is that what you're asking?
Well, kind of. And the fact that the generationals between the remembrances of them.
Well, but, you know, it's funny because if you're under 60, a lot of people don't know who they are unless you're in a certain kind of the Midwest states know more of Roy and Dale, because I don't know if because there's a lot of ranchers or a lot of, I don't know. I just know that California is kind of a tough crowd.
Right.
they're not as much into Roy and Dale. And but those who remember, I mean, they really stood for, you know, upstanding morals and goodness and kindness. And, you know, they didn't see color. I mean, their children were from varied cultures. My aunts and uncles, you know, one is from is a Native American, and another one was from Korea, and another one was from Scotland. And another one of my uncles had some brain damage, and he was a little slow on the uptake because of that, because he was beaten in his head when he was young and left just abandoned. And So they were very inclusive, and I think they are still relevant for today, definitely, because the inclusivity in my family just ran rampant. I mean, we didn't think anything of that. And today there's just so much division over it. And I'm grateful that I was raised in such a loving, giving family.
Wow.
And there was no pecking order. You know, nobody was better or more their child than the other one.
Right. Yes.
So. Now, what would you say would be the most inspiring to memorable story that your grandparents told you about Hollywood?
You know, they didn't run with the Hollywood crowd. Mm-hmm. They were very kind, and they would accept invitations and things like that, but they didn't go looking for it. And I think I mean, this isn't like one of those, you know, real big aha moments, but I think it was cute that Grandpa was very, very much not a talker. He was painfully shy. He was bashful. He'd stand around at a party and look at his feet and not really know what to say. And so the CEOs wanted him to go to all these Hollywood parties to get his name out there. And he felt awkward. So he didn't go. So finally he said, well, can I invite a friend? And they said, okay, sure. Yeah, invite a friend. Just go. And he invited his hunting buddy. And they sat on the couch all night at this party, this Hollywood party, and talked about coon hunting. And after that, they said, you know, never mind. Don't go. And they were just accepted for who they were. And I think that was the thing that I got out of Grandma and Grandpa was, you know, be yourself and don't sacrifice who you are for anybody, much less Hollywood. And they didn't. And they were beloved by it.
Wow.
That's incredible. And I love that you chose that particular story or instance, because it wasn't the wow factor, but I think it had more of a relevance and in a greater essence of things. So thank you so much for sharing that.
Well, they were who they were on screen and off screen. They didn't hide who they were, and they were very much what people wanted them to be in private. And that's what was so endearing about them, I think, and that people were drawn to them because they were authentic. So,
wow. So tell me a little, do you have any sort of a story on how the song Happy Trails came about when she wrote it?
Well, Grandma thought that Grandpa needed a theme song for his TV show, and he didn't have one. And so she grabbed an envelope and wrote the words, just scribbled the words on an envelope, and she taught it to him just a few minutes before they were to sing it for the first time. And she wanted it to sound like a trail call. When people were going down the mountain in the Grand Canyon, the one at the top would call down da da da, and then the one at the bottom would say da da, or you know, kind of like that. They would go back and forth to let each other know that they were there, and she kind of wanted it to sound very trail-like, and she wanted the words to be about life, and it certainly was. Pretty much about their life, where some trails are happy and some aren't, because, you know, they have three children that died within a very short period of time. And so that became their theme song.
Wow. That's
I didn't know it till I was in college. Nobody tells me anything in my family.
Oh. Wow.
I heard it on the radio and someone was saying that Day 11's wrote that iconic song. I said, are you kidding me? I called her up. I said, you wrote that? She said, wait, what? I wrote what? I said, Happy Trails. And she said, well, yeah. And I said, how come you didn't tell me that? And she said, well, baby, I just didn't think it was that important.
Oh, like, my gosh.
What?
Wow. Not important. I have to hear it from a stranger on the radio, and you don't think it's very important. So, but they didn't take themselves, their celebrity, too seriously.
Right. Well, they were just normal, lovable individuals, and you obviously saw them as Grandma and Grandpa, and then, but into the rest of the world, it was like, wow, okay, that's amazing, you know?
Yeah,
and exactly. It's so interesting because, well, one, do you watch Westerns at all?
You know, I'm not really into Westerns, but occasionally I'll turn on RFD TV or one of those channels, because they still play the Roy Rogers Show and some of their movies. And so sometimes I'll turn it on just for a hit of nostalgia, but it's more because it's Grandma and Grandpa rather than a Western. And it feels really good to still be able to watch them. And it feels good to talk about them with other people who still remember and love them. It's very heartwarming for me.
Well, you know, I'll tell you a little story that we kind of have a background in it, and I don't even know if it's still there, but I don't know if you've been to the what used to be called CBS Television Studios Radford.
Yeah.
But I think it's the
yeah.
I think it's the Radford Studios now.
Yeah,
and
I've been there.
outside the one of the parking garages, they used to have a little, it was like a some type of a memory thing where they had the Westerns on the concrete. They had right. statues and yeah. stuff like that. And Roy Rogers was part of that. And so yes. when we saw that for the first time, we were just like, oh my gosh, we're walking within the same area uh-huh. of where this magic was created. And it's just the yes. little things. And they even have a Roy Rogers and Dale Evans stage Street. At the studio.
Or stage, yep. Yep, yep they do. And that's where the old Republic Studios used to stand.
Yes.
And so that was their old stomping ground, and all these different Westerns would film there. And so I did a show with David Carradine and some other celebrities uh-huh. on that street. It was a signing show, and I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
So it was really fun because it was where they had actually filmed. And now, of course, I mean, it looked more to me like the street set from Seinfeld, because it was. That's where Seinfeld was shot.
Uh-huh.
But the old cave that they had, that was all torn down, but that was right there on the Western Street.
Oh.
Wow.
Yes, because we used to live in Studio City, and we used to do a lot of walking in that area.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, oh. Yes, and we always loved it. And then we used to work inside that studio. So we used to do a lot of different projects inside the studio. So the oh. one thing we admired the most about the studio, and we love to share that story with our fans, is the many things that used to be there.
Right.
And it's funny because yeah. we always told people, said, do you know that, oh, right over here was Gilligan's Island. Of course, the island wasn't yes. there no more, but they, you uh-huh. know, and they're like, oh, really? And I go, yeah. I go, these studios have so much history. And
they do.
And it just, the one thing about that studio and Warner Brothers, those are our two favorite studios. But mm-hmm. the one thing about both of those studios is they still honor the classic artists from back in the day. And
I do love that. Yes.
Yes, I do too. Because it just, even though it's four walls, a ceiling, and a floor, you can still feel that energy of what yeah. was in there. And uh-huh. that amazed us so much. Even when we went to, used to be the Ryn Mar Studios,
right?
which
yeah.
is now Red Studios, I think. And you look at the old Desilu setup of the way it was, and I'm like, you can just feel the presence of, you know, Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz yep. in there. And it's like, this is where it all started. So,
yes. And it's like, if these walls could only talk, you know?
Exactly.
Oh, I know. I know.
It's I just, love that.
It's just inspiring. And, you know, we love reading books like yours and going through the history of what Hollywood means and what it's about and learning the real side of the artists that make our dreams come true, in a sense.
Yep. Yeah.
So,
well, it's changed so much over the years.
It has.
It's really great that people still recognize the history behind what we have today.
So. Absolutely. And we love that. We love that. So is there anything that you could tell us that is the most spontaneous thing that our fans would love about this book, other than the obvious?
Any spontaneous things that they would love about the book? Well, you know, what I love about the book, and I know I'm not very objective, but they were real stories about normal people with extraordinary jobs.
Yes.
And I think that everyone can relate to the stories because they're about a grandchild and a grandparent relationship. And uh-huh. there's a lot of funny things and a lot of, not a lot of, but some heartbreak. But it was all real. And I think for the first time, it's been said from a grandchild's point of view, because there hasn't been a book written by a grandchild. And it's very right. different than a parent. And what's great is that they're like 3 and 4 pages long, so you don't have to read it from cover to cover. You can just open it up and read one story. And you know, I did it for my sons. It's now published. And as far as I'm concerned, I have accomplished my goal, and I feel so good about that. And if they sell to other people, I'd love it. But I'm happy.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. Well, you're keeping the magic alive. And you're doing it in real time. You're doing it in the most realistic form that is possible. And, you know, for fans like ourselves, that is the most inspirational piece of writing ever, is especially when it's personal, because you get the real side of it. So we admire that.
You get the real side. Well, thank you so much.
We admire it. Yes. Well, tell our fans where they can find this lovely book and where they can get more about you.
Well, they can find it on Amazon. It's up on Amazon right now, and also Barnes & Noble, and I'm sure some other sites, they said, my publisher said, but those are the two main ones. And it's in hardback and softcover.
Well, Julie, thank you so much for sharing this magical moment with us. And we are so honored that you came on the show and told us this wonderful, I'm going to say, childhood memory of ours. Yes, of course. And thank you. We are so honored for it. So we appreciate it.
Well, I am honored to be able to speak with you on it, on this topic, because obviously it's a topic that I love. And so I'm grateful to have been on your show. Thank you so much for having me.
I always love great interviews, and when you go back in time a little bit and you explore some of the magic, and when you hear from the estates and the families that grew around these amazing actors and actresses from back in the day, it's just a great, good feeling.
It's good to listen to.
It is. It's very good to listen to. So we do want to thank Julie for coming on our show and giving us another great episode of What About Our Life with Chris and Will. And we do want to remind you that in earlier episodes, we talked about doing a special of South Carolina featuring the 30th anniversary of Forrest Gump and The Notebook. That has been rescheduled for another time, unfortunately. And so hopefully we'll be able to put that in our book so we can celebrate it on the 30th anniversary. But I do encourage you to go to Visit South Carolina and get all the information, because they do have it on their website, to where you can explore the different scenes that they did for both movies. So if you want to go to South Carolina for a vacation and you want to follow the nostalgia of the two movies, then go ahead and do that. But we'll keep you posted if and when it gets rescheduled for us to experience it within the year. But furthermore, we do want to thank you for joining us and giving us all this great fun and all these amazing journeys. And remember, we still have so much that we haven't announced. A lot of new things have been coming up since we last spoke. So we're very excited about that. But you can stay updated with all of our happenings by going to our official website at chrisandwill.com. You can watch all of our specialty shows on our Chris Will Network, which is on our official website. You can get all the social life and around town postings on our social media networks. And you can see some stuff on our YouTube channels as well. And on our website, you can also find out where we will be making appearances and filming locations and so much more. That is chrisandwill.com. But remember, you need to like, follow us, and subscribe to our internet channels, social media channels, which are
at chris.and.will on Instagram, at The Real Prince Charmings on Facebook, at Prince Charmings of Podcast on TikTok, and at Prince Charmings of Podcasting on YouTube.
Yes, he was losing his breath there. Exactly. So, but yes, and thank you guys so much. Take care of yourself. We love you. Remember to love yourself, and the world will love you in return. But for now, until the next episode, the Prince Charmings of Podcasting has to say goodbye just for now. Just for now. Just for a small, short bit. And we'll be back with another great, great, great episode. You guys take care of yourself. And remember, we love you. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.